And the name, yeah, you know, you get up early enough, you can do those things, right? And so the title today is, When You See These Things, Rejoice. When you see these things, rejoice. And so maybe all of you probably woke up yesterday morning and saw that now there's been, you know, with this attack from Hamas. Yesterday morning, 608 Israelis are dead so far. A few Americans, I heard, maybe have also been killed. Over 2,000 injured. There are perhaps hundreds of Israelis being held hostage right now, and maybe even dozens of Americans. I don't know if you've heard the latest on this. I read this morning in Egypt, a policeman opened fire, killing two Israeli tourists. And so we, you know, seeing these things that we've, you know, that an attack on Israel that we haven't seen since 1973. Amen. So we're going to talk, I'm going to talk about these things this morning. Amen. We're going to pray a little bit later. We're going to pray for Israel. Amen. Just know, you look at Israeli's history. I mean, the devil, this is what we know. The devil hates Israel and he hates the body of Christ. It's pretty evident, isn't it? Hates Israel and hates the body of Christ. You think of everything that Israel has gone through in their history, but yet God's hand is with them. They are God's chosen people. And by the way, if you get a chance to come to that, the women's thing where Lisa Mitz is going to be speaking, it'll be fast. She has an amazing testimony because she is a Israeli Jew. Not born there, but she is a Jew. Her dad and her brother very much involved in that faith, being rabbis. Her dad was a rabbi. He passed away, very well-known rabbi. Her brother is still a rabbi to this day, and so she knows what it was like to come into Christ and have her family reject her. So she has an amazing testimony. And also David is also Jewish, and he has an amazing testimony himself. And I love supporting their ministry. I love their hearts. Once you know, knowing people's hearts, when you can be comfortable to give them a platform. And what, you know, so the different, many times I've been met with him. And then when we saw the Jesus Revolution together with, we were at the Mets, and who else, I can't remember who we were with, hon, but I just remember after that, we're in the foyer of the movie theater, and David's just bawling. You know, we could have had church right there in the foyer. Probably should have. But just seeing their heart, and so, and seeing what happened in Israel. You know, AD, let me just talk about Israel, a little bit about history, okay? So, some of you know this, bear with me, but a lot of people do not. So sometimes you'll read, you'll wake up, oh, Israel's being attacked. And maybe you may be thinking, what's the big deal with Israel? Why does it always seem to be, there seems to be a focus in this world on Israel? There's a reason for that, isn't there? You know, Israel's modern history after we're going to read some things in the Bible, but AD 70s when the temple was destroyed. And we're going to read that from Matthew 24. And so Israel as a nation at that time, not as a people, but as a nation, ceased to exist. They were scattered throughout that time, throughout the known world. AD 70. You'd raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. I know. And you would think at that time, how could, that's the end of Israel, right? In the natural, that would make sense. That's the end of Israel as we know. It could be like one of those empires or people that we read about that no longer exist. You know, that they're no longer a nation. They used to be powerful nations, powerful kingdoms that no longer even exist as a country. Amen? Do you know, you realize that? But here we are with Israel. And let me just give you a few scriptures because, man, today still our strength, amen, our hope, our anchor is the Word of God, amen. Can you say amen? Amen? And, of course, we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But you and I, if we're going to stay rooted and grounded, will always be in the Word of God, amen. It will never take secondary to any type of display of the power. No, God's, What it is really is God's power is displayed as he confirms his word. The word of God. Isaiah 11:12, it says, he will raise up a signal for the nations that will assemble the banished of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. When Israel came back in 1948, at that time, that area of the world was controlled by Great Britain. And through history, through things going on, and actually through the United Nations, Israel came back and became a state, amen, along with, you've heard of the Gaza Strip. And so now there became this separation of the people of Israel. How did that happen? Let me read this from Amos. God foretold this long before it happened. Amos 8:9-14 and 15 says this, I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel. Hallelujah. And they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine. And they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. They can come against Israel. They can hate Israel, but Israel is not going anywhere. You know, there's principalities and powers. Now, we know through Christ Jesus, he has defeated all principalities and powers, right? Amen? For the believer. But is there still a little g, a god of this world? Amen? Amen. There's a principality. Even we can read in Daniel, the book of Daniel, where Daniel was praying, and there was an angel that was sent to him, and he says, but I was hindered because of this prince of Persia, said, a demonic foe. So there's demonic foes over nations, deceiving nations, and there's still this demonic foe, the prince of Persia, which were now part of that would be Iran, the country of Iran. Amen. Let me just say this. As I get going a little bit here, God has his children in every tribe, every tongue, every people. And we're going to talk about that. But there's still these lying, deceiving principalities and powers. How else do you still have countries that said, we don't care anything. We will not be satisfied until Israel is wiped off the face of the earth. That's lying, demonic principalities and powers. You know, I remember, you know, I realized that there was never going to be peace. I remember being in my office. I remember where I was in Prescott Valley. I remember, like 2000, I'm going to say it was around 2000, 2001, 2002. Yasser Arafat, anybody remember who he was? He's a prime minister, I think, of Palestine that time. And I remember at that time Israel gave every concession that Palestine was asking for. They wanted peace. Israel wanted peace. And so they said, here's everything you guys are asking for. And guess what they did? They turned it down. They said no. I realized right then that it had nothing to do with having peace with Israel, but everything to do with a demonic foe who wanted to destroy the people of Israel. See, God is still under covenant with Israel. Just like in the new covenant, he's still in covenant with you in the modern day church. And we're going to read some scriptures. Hallelujah. Matt, Israel is still the apple of God's eye. I want to tell you that. There is no such thing. Well, there's a such thing, but I do not believe in replacement theology. Now, we are in the church age, but we'll read about it in Romans 11. But God's hand is still protecting Israel. I can't explain all the heartache. The 6 million Jews destroyed, and then we have people in Congress in this country who want to say that never existed. That's disgusting. That's a lie from the pit of hell. So we have principalities and powers over certain cities and areas in this nation that are now deceiving the people. You believe a lie and you continue to believe a lie. Next thing you know, Next thing, you hate what is right, right? And love what is wrong. Believe in a lie. Or principalities and powers, or people that are run for Congress, let me just say, they'll stand up and, you know, totally anti-Semitic, will say things and yet still get voted in certain communities. See, those are principalities and powers and lying demonic foes that we now see popping up in different areas of this nation. Thank you, Jesus, that it never comes over our area. We thank you that salvation shall flow, the love of God, the truth will remain in our area. I can only speak for our area. I pray that it remains in this area. Amen. So how that works is people come in and they start declaring lies, things that are opposite of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who he is, who Israel is, who he is from the beginning, from Genesis to Revelation, and they start declaring these lies, then people believe them, and the demonic foe set up camp like that. It starts with a lie. If you don't believe a lie, a demonic foe cannot have any influence on your life. His influence is by you believing a lie. And there's many of them now. Many of the lies that we hear now is God doesn't heal anymore. Well, that's a lie. God still heals bodies in Jesus' name. Amen. He still sets captives free. Hallelujah. He still loves blessing his people. If we're not careful, all these lies come into the church to where we have this little bitty square left in the body of Christ. Says, get saved, give your heart to him, and just hang on till Jesus comes back. But the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. The promises of God are yes and amen. You know, our end time theology or what we believe, we've got to be careful. And this is how it can work. Because I was young enough, I remember the Jesus Revolution. I remember my folks having big meetings, you know, of end time. People come, and it was exciting. End times, people come, and let's talk about the end times. So big group. And that was their focus. And my only problem was that being the focus, I wasn't seeing some people's lives change. Because now it became escapism. We're going to be gone. You know, I remember, and I'll move on to this, but I remember, and I won't say his name, and I think he's a mighty man of God, but in 1978, a leader of a major movement, Christian movement, powerful movement in America said, hey, Jesus is going to return, I think he said, at the end of 1980 or 1981. And so he said, you know, I can't guarantee that I'm right, but I believe I am. So all my focus, this is exactly what he said, all my focus is going to be coming to that date. And so if you have a date where you think Jesus is going to come back whatever certain amount of time, and that's your focus, I want to know what you're planting, what you're building, what you're doing, what are you doing for the kingdom of God now? Because if he's just going to come back in a certain amount of time, what ends up happening is people just hang on while the enemy is sneaking into the schools, sneaking into every other area of society, while the church is just hanging on to this belief that he's going to come a certain date, or he's going to just come tonight or tomorrow, which he could. But if you have that mentality, the enemy takes everything that is yours, because you believe you have the escapism attitude. Let's not do that. But at the same time, when you see these things, rejoice. Are you hanging in there? I'm not mad at nobody. I've just been around long enough where I've seen. I mean, I've got some common sense. And we need common sense to prevail again in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, you have Hamas and Hezbollah, terrorist groups. You know, Hamas enjoys the backing of Iran and is part of a bloc compromise, that's compromised, or not compromised, but it has Iran, comprises Iran, Syria, and Islamist groups of Hezbollah in Lebanon. All the members of this bloc oppose Israel and the U.S. So you know this, but you want to know what's going on, don't you, a little bit? Amen. We do want to know that he's drawing nigh soon. I'm not saying he's not coming soon. We want to be aware of that. We want to understand that. But we want to, what, rejoice as we see these things draw nigh. Iran's Revolutionary Guard, founded by Hezbollah in 1982 to export its Islamic revolution and fight against Israel, sharing Tehran's Shiite ideology, and Hezbollah now recruits around the world people with money. Monies that this country gives them, this administration gives them. One goal is to kill Israelis and kill Americans. One goal, their biggest goal. Can you imagine the powers that run Iran, the Ayatollah, is their biggest goal is I got to get rid of Israel. That's their, they'll spend their last dime to wipe Israel off the map. You know, none of these things should take a believer by surprise. Did you know that? Let's read a little bit. Hang in there. This is good news. I said this is good news. We're going to pray for Israel, but these things that we're seeing, should we be surprised? It doesn't take God. God's not sitting there going, man, if this takes me by surprise. What happened? No, not at all. Amen? Let's go to Matthew 24. Maybe it's been a while since you've read this. Amen. You hanging in there? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. So signs of Christ's return. Jesus left the temple area, verse 1, was going on his way, and when his disciples came up to point out the temple, Matthew 24, but he responded and said to them, they're looking at the beauty of the second temple. You had the first temple during the time of Solomon. This is what they call the second temple period. But he responded, the disciples came up and pointed out the temple, the building. They probably thought, man, look at this. But Jesus responded and said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly, I said to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. And that's when AD 70, when the Romans came in and destroyed the temple and probably much of Jerusalem. In verse 3, and as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? The end of the age. And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. The first thing he says, make sure nobody misleads you. See, we live in a time where people are being misled. If so, even the elect, it said, even to deceive the elect, the times will be cut short, you know, that the elect could even be deceived. That's how powerful of a delusion is coming upon this world. There's a delusion already coming upon this world. And Jesus answered, said to them, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will mislead many people. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. You know, I hear these things. You hear all these things, not just Russia and Ukraine. You hear about China, what it's trying to do. You hear the drum beats of war. Can you hear the drum beats of war around this world? Many of the countries now are building up their military again. You can hear the drum beats of war. You can hear it. But the Word of God says that's exactly what we would see. Hallelujah. Amen. For nation, verse 7, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will hand you over to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time, many will fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and mislead many people. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will become cold. You know, this lawlessness that we see in society, you see it now? In cities? Yeah. That's what lawlessness gets you. The love of, how does it work? The love of those, many being cold, because what happens then, instead of turning to Christ and saying, Lord, forgive me my sins, Lord Jesus, set me free. What they do is they point their finger out towards others and they say, because of you, I am where I am. Therefore, I don't have to listen to any laws, any rules. I'll do what I want because everything that's happened to me is your fault. When the mentality of people has that, I'm telling you, lawlessness will prevail. When you see these things, when you watch these videos, or a Gucci, is it a Gucci store? Sometimes I get my brand. There's a Gucci brand, right? Okay. I'm gonna make sure it's like, what am I saying? Right? So, and you see just all these young people just crack, you know, just break into it, take everything, and nobody says anything. Nobody stops them. The government doesn't care because of the mentality, an anti-Christ mentality, which the ones that are getting office are saying, you know what? Whoever owns this merchandise, what they're saying is whoever owns it, they deserve this. They're getting what they deserve. See, that's when you have what's right is evil, and evil is what's right. That's what we're talking about. Lawlessness is this. What's going on is your fault. That's how communism will raise them. Total lawlessness, blaming a certain people, and then taking over. Well, I won't get into that because power always ends up in one person's hand anyway, doesn't it? But it's a lie. Karl Marx, a lie. The book about communists, if you read that, it's pointing his finger at everybody else. Here's the thing that in a good society where truth prevails, people take responsibility for their actions. If you're going to walk with God in strength and anointing and truth, you will have to take responsibility for your actions. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't things that happen to people that are horribly wicked and hurtful. But see, the gospel heals the heart. The gospel sets people free. That's what the gospel, this is not an idea of how to live a better life. No, this is he who came, who was God, who died for you on a cross to forgive you of your sins, fill you with his Holy Spirit, and set you on a new trajectory. Amen? That's what the gospel does. That's what the grace of God does. It puts his laws in your heart, and all of a sudden you've got this joy in your heart, and you find yourself wanting to do right. Well, excuse me, you go first. Thank you. Well, God bless you. No, you go first. That's what God's mercy and grace does. See, the mercy and grace, God shed his grace upon you and I. See, God's mercy and grace made it to where you and I could govern ourselves in this nation, where I could carry a gun and be responsible. Where I could carry a gun and say, you better not come in here at 2 in the morning. See, God's grace. Isn't it amazing what God has put? See, God poured out his grace upon this nation. It wasn't because this nation was so smart. Ragtag group of people and farmers fighting against the redcoats, amen. And just like David and Goliath, supernaturally by God's grace being victorious. See, it's not about our military. I know I said it's not about our military. If we start boasting about these things, we're in trouble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, anything that God's going to do you in my life will start with this humility. Say, thank you, Jesus. Those areas of my life you want to change, I belong to you. Then he does the work from inside. Amen. But it has nothing to do with lawlessness that we can say, no, you know, it's okay. You know, no, we need the Ten Commandments in schools. Because a lot of people aren't knowing what's right or wrong anymore. How can grace have an effect on somebody's life if they don't even know the difference between right and wrong? Or they've been taught lies, so they believe that it's It's their fault. And you can fill in the blank for there. You still there? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then they will hand you over to, let me go to verse 11. And many false prophets arise up and mislead many people. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will become cold. But the one who endures to the end is the one who will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. Rumors of war. We're seeing and hearing of those things right now. Jesus could come tomorrow. He could come tonight. But you know, he could come in 20 years. It does not change my heart. It does not change my expectation. It does not change anything that I'm going to do except, Lord, lead and guide me. Lord, help me to declare the truth. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, Israel is going to be hated until all prophecy is fulfilled. You know, the church is going to be hated in certain areas until all prophecy is fulfilled. Amen? It's just the way it's going to be. Amen? I know that. If you look, I know in America, look, you can go in some cities right now, start preaching against lawlessness. You're taking your life in your hands. Amen? So there's areas. If you go to certain areas of the world, you start preaching the gospel, you're going to find yourself in a prison right then and there, and they may see you again, they may not. That's what the world has come to. But you know what? I love what Paul says. Hey, look, even though the enemy's coming against the gospel, pushing against the gospel, it continues to grow and grow and to bear fruit. Matter of fact, when the church is persecuted, maybe that's when God's power and might and grace is on full display. Can we not maybe had a time where we've been sassy, comfortable? I was going to say fat and sassy, but I didn't know if I do that should say that. Could we maybe become comfortable in some ways in the American church? Can I be honest? Can we challenge one another? And one of the things that we got to be careful, if we hear any challenge, we're going to read some scriptures, well, people will get upset. Don't allow that. Don't allow that, amen? Could we, in America, our church, and you know, in a lot of ways, have just become comfortable? We have everything we need. You don't believe me? Open up your garage. I've said it before. We don't park our cars there anymore. We put our stuff in there. Amen. Amen. Let me read this. I'm going to read a little bit. Hang in there. We're going to continue on. How about what's going to happen with Israel? Read this in Ezekiel 38 prophecy. You know, Russia, Iran, Turkey, and other nations will come together against Israel far from the north in the end times. That's prophesied. Ezekiel 38, 8, 9. I just want to read a few scriptures here. Things that are coming. I was saying that Israel, until Jesus comes again or sets up his thousand-year reign on the earth, man, Israel, the enemy, the Satan hates Israel. It's going to keep coming against them. After many days, you will be summoned. He's talking about those from the north. God, in the latter years, you will come into... We could be in those latter years. We're getting close. Are we not? Are we not getting close to those latter years? We gotta be by what we see. After many days, you'll be summoned. In the latter years, you will come into the land that is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations. It's talking about Israel. To the mountains of Israel, which have been a continual place of ruins. Did you hear that? It means that it's been continually, there's been problems, there's been wars, there's been attacks. So even when this happens, when at the end time when Gog and Magog and those other nations come against Israel, says, hey, this Israel has been a continual area of ruins. Nations and people coming against it. those firing rockets. What was there? Thousands of rockets yesterday that were fired off into Israel. Always in ruins. It's been a continual place of ruins, but its people were brought out from the nations, right? Israel was, and they are living securely, all of them, and you will go up and you will come like a storm. You will be like a cloud covering the land, you and all your troops and many peoples with you, coming the last time, last days, coming against Israel, this last day's army. How close are we to that? A lot of people believe the church were already gone. But nevertheless, this is where Israel's going to be. Ezekiel, and this is what's going to happen. Here's the good news for Israel, amen? And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, he's saying, you, Ezekiel, say exactly what's going to happen when this final army comes against Israel. You, son of man, declare and speak what's actually going to happen. He says, and you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, this is what the Lord God says. Behold, I am against you, Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tabal, and I will turn you around, lead you on a rope, take you up from the remotest parts of the north, and bring you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will strike your bow from your left hand and make your arrows fall from your right hand. Means your rockets are not going to come out of where they're at, I think. It won't be bows and arrows and this and that. It'll be rockets. And what God says, not one of them is going to touch Israel. That's finally going to be done with. He's finally going to say, enough. And it was the biggest army that comes against Israel, where everybody says, there's no hope for Israel. That's when God moves his hand. See, in your life and situations become hopeless and you finally give up. That's when God wants to move in your life. But as long as you've got a way of escape or you've got a better plan, you could just keep going along. And finally, till you say spiritually, Uncle or Jesus, I'm done. Let me just say, if there's areas in your life that you're struggling that keep you crippled spiritually, ask the Lord to help you to finally say, I am done. He's faithful. He loves you. He's there for you. But when the odds are totally against you and you have nowhere else to turn is when God shows up on the scene. Man, that's good news. I found that to be true. Remember a time in my life when I was so struggling, so terribly bad. And I said, Lord, if there's a 1 in 10 million chance that you can help me, help me. I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think I'm going to be what you want me to be. I'll go to heaven, I'm sure, maybe, hopefully. That time I was saying. And it was at that time of desperation in my life that God's mercy, love, and grace exploded with inside me, and I have never been the same. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. And amen. Verse 3 again, then I will strike your bow from your left hand and make your arrows fall from your right hand. You will fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops, and the peoples who are with you. I will give you as food to every kind of predatory bird and animal on the field. You will fall on the open field, for it is I who have spoken, declares the Lord God. And I will send fire upon Magog and those who inhabit the coastlands in safety, and they will know that I am the Lord. See, I want to pray for Israel today. But I don't want us to pray in this attitude. Understand me. Oh, poor Israel. I'm not saying what they did, what's happened, is good. How I want to pray is, Lord Jesus, thank you for your hand being upon Israel. Thank you that Israel will be all that God has desired her to be. Thank you, Israel, that you have the final say. Lord Jesus, thank you there's coming a day when all of this is going to end and you're going to wipe out the armies of this earth that come against Israel. Amen. Can you stand up with me as we pray for Israel real quick before we continue? Amen. Do you love the Lord? pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. In your own way, in your own voice, pray for us. Lord, we thank you for your people, Israel. Father, we thank you for your hand upon the people of Israel. Father God, we thank you that they are your people, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you brought them back from the four corners of the earth and gave them their nation back in 1948, Lord. And though they've gone from war to war to conflict, we thank you that your hand is upon them in Jesus' name. We thank you that your protection is upon them in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the enemy cannot have them in Jesus' name. Lord, we're praying through these things that people, that Israel's coming to the time where they will give their lives to Jesus Christ in full, not just a small number, Father God, but those, Father God, that will come and realize who their Messiah are. Lord, those that are worshiping and still praying and asking for the Messiah to come. Well, he came 2,000 years ago. Lord, we pray that you would reveal yourself to Israel. Father, they would come to know him whom they have pierced and wounded. He that gave his life for them. Lord, we thank you that you're still in covenant with Israel. Thank you for blessing them. Lord, I pray that this country would continue to bless Israel and shut the voices of those, Father God, that are lying voices, Father God, that come against your people, Father God. Those voices, we pray that you'd shut them, Lord. We pray that the voice of a lion, Father God, the voice of a lion, the voice of truth, Father God, for Israel would prevail. And Lord, that this country, Father God, because your word says you'll bless those who bless Israel. So we bless Israel in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your hand being upon them. We thank you that they belong to you. And nothing shall remove them from the land that you gave them for eternity. So we bless you. We thank you. We praise you, Father God. We thank you for our brothers and sisters that are there that are working in Israel, Father God. Jewish people that do know you, Father God, that are being shut down in Israel from preaching the gospel. Father, we thank you for being with them. We thank you for blessing those churches. We thank you for those individuals, Father, whose hearts are broken for Israel. Lord, we pray that you would help them, Father God, to lead others to you. Father, we thank you. There's coming a day, as we shall read in a few minutes, where the day, the final day of the Gentile church, then all of Israel shall be saved. So we thank you for that day that is coming. We bless you and praise you for that day that is coming. In the name of Jesus, all of God's people said, amen and amen. Amen and amen. God's hand, you may be seated if you're able. We serve a good Father, don't we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I ask you today, if I may, what are you focused on today? I have to ask myself that. There's so many interesting things with technology. There's so many interesting things I can give my focus to. I mean, I can read about things around the entire world on my iPad. I can know what's going on in Israel right now. I can read about the latest technologies that are coming for Apple and all these other devices. I can read, say, oh man, they're going to be faster. How fast are they got to be, right? There's so many things that we can focus on. We can focus on things at work. And don't get me wrong. I mean, we're called to do a good job. Amen. Daniel was focused at the task at hand, but yet God was with him, leading him and guiding him. Amen. So what are you focused on today? You know, I have some funny things, but these are things that I hear. So please don't. Well, if you get upset at me, that's okay. I still love you. You know, are you focused on whether Bigfoot is real or not, as an example? Or the Loch Ness Monster? If he's real, they'll find him and they'll display him for us all to see. Perhaps. Or some of you might believe that he's already been found, but they won't show it to us. So what are you focused on? Are you focused on when Bobby Kennedy will show up on the scene again? We'll know that if that's the case. I'm just saying some things. I'm sorry. I don't care if Bobby Kennedy is dead or not. That is not my focus. And if he shows up on the scene, I'll deal with it then. If they've been hiding him out for how many years? He's got to have cabin fever by now. Are you focused on who has done you wrong? Seriously. These are things we have to remind ourselves constantly. Who has done you wrong? Let it go. Forgive. I'm not saying you have to form some tight friendship again. Let it go. Forgive. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. See, this is when you don't let it go. This is when that lawlessness takes hold of your life. Because you're pointing fingers like this and excusing your behavior. How do you break that? Forgive. Don't hold that. I'm not saying that we discounted or what things that have happened to people. What I'm saying is Jesus can heal every hurt and pain. Everybody that's come against you, you can forgive them. Jesus forgave you. I mean, look at it. He forgave you of all your sins. How if God started pointing fingers at me, I'd be in trouble. How about you? Let it go. What are you focused on? People will forgive somebody who's died long ago. Let me just say this. There be people that you need to forgive and let go. Doesn't mean you've got to, that you can have a friendship with them or you can have a relationship with them right now. Some relationships are toxic. So forgiving them is not to say, let me have that toxicity back in my life. That's not what it is. What it is, you forgive them and you pray for them. Tell you something, it feels good to forgive somebody from the heart. It can take time. It can be something you have to pray about over and over and over and over and over again, depending how deep that root of unforgiveness is sometimes. You notice how something can happen to you? You can just, might bother you, but you say, I'm done with that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But there can be things that they've been there, they've gotten deep branches and roots in our soul. And it can take time for the Holy Spirit, if you allow him to vet that out, so that finally can be pulled out. It's called a root of bitterness or unforgiveness or pain or hurt. Let it go. Allow the Holy Spirit to break that over your life. You'll see things in a whole new light. When there's bitterness and those unforgiveness and roots, it's seen through a rose-colored pair of glasses. And we don't even realize it. And then when that's removed out of the way, there's a clarity. There's a freshness. There's more capacity in your soul to receive the good things of God. Amen? It'll increase your capacity for understanding the things of God. I'm telling you, fresh revelation of Christ Jesus will then be deposited in you. Fresh seed, new seed. A revelation, the word of God is like a seed. New seed will be planted, amen? But say, Lord, pull that out. He'll reveal to you when you get uncomfortable around people, you think about them, or just you've got this thing constantly, a torment. See, bitterness and resentment bring torment because it produces bad fruit. Bitterness does not produce good fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit, when that's removed out of the way and the capacity, the more the fruit of God, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound peaceful and restful? That's what you want to be focused in. Let me ask you, are you focused on QAnon? I'm going to say that. I love Pastor Jack Kibbs. And they asked Pastor Jack Kibbs, they said, his thoughts on QAnon, he said, it proved to be completely unreliable. I do not pay attention to it anymore. I don't either, because after moving the date, the goalpost 1,000 times about when Hillary Clinton's finally going to be arrested. And man, I was hanging on to every word for a while. But when it never happened, and it still hasn't happened, I said, I've moved on. It cannot be relied upon. I don't care what you say. If your focus is there, you're focused on something that is not truth and not reliable. There might be some aspects of it. There might be some aspects of it. Isn't that every lie has some truthful aspects to it? Can I just say that? And I might be speaking to me. When I say the QAnon, I'm probably speaking to myself. So if you're in that crowd with me, let's move on. I mean that. Then you're probably thinking, what does Chad read? Sick, let me just read a little bit some more scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, so this is Paul talking to his protege Timothy, the young pastor. He says, indeed, all who want to live in a godly way in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We started seeing that in church. And our church, we've had, our lives have been so preoccupied. You remember some of these bakers that were being shut down, persecuted? Their own businesses can't decide who they're going to make a cake for or don't or not. That's called persecution. But evil people, and this time, but evil people and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. This is for you and I. He's talking to you and I today, in the time that we live in, the time we live in now, in the U.S. The time we live in and what we see going on around this world, when there's wars and rumors of wars, right? 14 again. You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. Now listen, where are we getting truth from? Sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Where do we get our doctrine of truth and salvation? It is from the Word of God and the Word of God only. Only. Amen? And we don't have any extra books out there. We don't have an extra book of Mormonism. We don't have an extra book from the Jehovah Witnesses. Those are lies. They're lies. I'm telling you, there are people that are so, that love God, that desperately want to please Him, they have a heart for Him, that have bought into things that are lies. It's all work-based. It's all fear-based. There's no peace. There's no joy. Lord, I pray you bring people out of those religions. Lord, may there be a revival in the cults in America coming to the truth of the gospel of grace. Amen? Lord, you love those people. Hearts so sincere. Muslim people, hearts so sincere. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in the Muslim faith and nations, bringing people into the truth of the gospel of grace. Amen. That He loves you. Put your trust in Jesus. All these works to try to please Him, never being enough. Oh, but oh, how He loves you and I. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Putting your trust and faith in Him sets you free. Then the things that you do for Him, works, come from a heart touched by the grace of God. Hallelujah. It says, and then it goes to verse 16. He talks about salvation through the scriptures. He says, all scripture is inspired by God and is beneficial for what? For teaching. Do you agree with that? Then it says for rebuke. But do you agree with that? Amen. He's a loving Father. He loves me. Lord, rebuke me all you want. I belong to you. I heard this from another pastor that I saw not too long ago, and I now do that. He had this thing. He said, Lord, I'm yours to command. So I want to have that heart. Lord, I am yours to command. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you lead or guide me, I belong to you. Do you have that heart saying, Lord, I am yours to command? His yoke is easy and His burden is light. People are afraid to say that. They said, well, He's going to send me to another nation that I don't want to go. That's not God. If he's going to send you, you're going to have a desire. You're going to have a burning desire. You're going to have a heart and attitude that says, when can I get there? Nothing's going to stop me. God's called me. His purpose is for that. But when we're saying this, when we say, God, I'm yours to command, it says man lead, he leads and guides us by that inner witness. It says in Psalms 37 that he gives us the desires of our heart. So when we say, Lord, I'm yours to command, he leads us by the desires and the things that he's already placed in you, or he wants to place in you. Amen. Man, we serve a good, good Father. Amen. He'll give you the desires of your heart that he places within you. And if that's going to wherever, amen, certain nation, so be it. We'll bless you and be with you and sending you if that's where God wants you. Thank you, Lord. 16, all scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction. Rebuke and correction, amen. Are you okay with the word doing that for you? For training in righteousness? Right? I thought you said that we are righteous already. Well, that's who you are. But there's aspects of you, your mind being renewed, coming into maturity. You and I still have some very unrighteous acts. Things that God doesn't, that's not like God. Let's not lie to ourselves about that. Let's say, thank you, Lord, for correcting me and rebuking me and showing me those things. Amen? Amen and amen. Why? It says, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work. See, that's what that correction, that rebuke, that understanding for the word as you grow in him. Man, there'll be things that he can place in you and he can launch you into, but as long as you're not willing to be corrected or rebuked by the word of God, you'll never get there. You'll be like the rebellious child, right? I'd love to give you the car keys, but you've shown I can't. I would love to give you the keys, but I can't. We think God is mindless. No, he sees those things. He loves us and he wants to bless us, but he's not going to set us up for absolute wreck and failure. The word of God rebukes and it encourages and it trains in righteousness. What's that mean? What's right or wrong? Amen. What I love about God's grace and mercy, as he's showing me these things, he's so loving and kind. And he's so kind to help me get there. He's so patient. You know, as I go around the mountain again, here he comes again. God's so kind and patient. And finally, it's me. It's me yielding. Okay, Lord, I'm done with, in this area or this thought or this process, I'm done going around the mountain. And God says, I've been here the whole time. Come on, let's get you out of that rut. I'll get you out of that pit. Isaiah 40, you've been in the mud and the mire long enough. I'm going to pop you up out of there. I'm going to put you on a rock, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I'm going to put a new song in your mouth, a song of praise to me. Hallelujah. So you can declare the goodness of God. Amen. Amen. Having said that, where are we now? This is where I think we are as a people, as a church, the body of Christ. We are in a time now to raise our voice. Isaiah chapter 40. You got to have a scripture for it, right? Or it's just a good idea. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Go up on a high mountain, Zion. We're part of Zion now. We're the church of, we're children of Abraham. Amen? So I'm not just talking about Israel. It's talking about you and I. It says, go up on a high mountain, Zion, messenger of good news, amen? Raise your voice forcefully, Jerusalem, messenger of good news. What kind of messages? Good news, amen? Good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Raise it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Here's the one who can set you free. Here's the one that can deliver you or heal you. His name is Jesus. See, it says in verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his compensation is with him and his reward before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm he will gather the lambs and carry them in the fold of his robe. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Wow, he's a loving father. Doesn't matter what you've experienced as a father or mother. Man, he's a loving father. He will tend his flock. In his arm he will gather the lambs and carry them in the fold of his robe. Can you imagine that? Can you see that for your life? Can you see that for your family? He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Thank you for your gentleness, Lord. Thank you for your kindness as Gina comes. He's a good, good father. The good news that the price for sin has been paid. Good news, that thing that torments your mind and your soul can be broken in Jesus' name if you want it broken. If you want it, it can. That's what the gospel does. When does it done timing-wise? I don't know. Can I be honest? There's things in my life I'm saying, Lord, break that over my life. I don't want that anymore. And I just keep pursuing him and seeking him, knowing he's fully accepted me. He's not saying, hey, I'm not going to accept you until that's dealt with. No, he's a loving shepherd. He draws me closer. And I say, Lord, I don't like that thing in me. Help me. Show me. Deliver that thing. Lord, let it not be a part of my life anymore. And if I pursue him, I can see that he's unfolding his goodness, unfolding his faithfulness, showing me his patience and kindness. Say, Lord, I don't know when, but that thing there is going to be gone in Jesus' name. Where does it start? You start to believe in the good news. Here, can I read one more? When it says good news, I thought of this that might be good news when we're talking to people. Can I read just a little bit more to you and we're done? Just an idea. We're talking about this gospel and the good news that we're talking to people. What's something we can say that'd be biblical? How about Psalms 103? A psalm of David. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits. Can I name some of those benefits? Who pardons all your guilt? Hallelujah. Who heals all your diseases? Hallelujah. Who redeems your life from the pit? Thank you, Jesus. Who crowns you with favor and compassion? Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle? I'm just talking to the promises of God here. Amen. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. That sounds like something I can, that sounds like good news. That sounds like something I can tell others about. That's the good news of the gospel. It's not an idea. It's not a set of rules to try to live by. It's something that by the Holy Spirit indwells in you and radically changes your life forever. See, some of these things that you've imagined that you wish you could be or accomplish or do, that's called your imagination. Let me tell you something. I'm not talking about a vain imagination. God loves an imagination. So we think about, God, I can't hardly believe that you would set me free or that you would do this in my life or that you would send me here or you would give me this. But man, I'm telling you, anything you can imagine, God can do far above and beyond that. But it starts by believing it. Can you stand up with me? Do you believe in him this morning? Do you agree with me this morning? When you see these things, rejoice. When you see these things that we see around the world, rejoice because your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, Father, we bless you. Take a minute. Say, Lord, just talk. Take a minute and talk to the Lord. Can you? Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God becoming life. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit setting me free in areas of my life. Lord Jesus, thank you that I belong to you. Thank you for the promises, Father God, that as for me, my household, we shall serve the Lord. Father, thank you for the promises that you and your household shall be saved. Lord, thank you for those promises that I can take a hold of by faith and begin this journey of a satisfied life in Jesus Christ. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, when we dismiss, I invite you to come up. There'll be some here that would love to introduce you to Jesus. If you need prayer for any area of your life, if there's something you just want somebody to agree with, come on up. We'd love to agree with you and see God's hand work in that area. Amen. Do you love him? Saints, do you love him? Amen. I love him, man. I love him. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. I thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercy and your love. Thank you for the power of the Word of God. Thank you for your anointing being here, Father God. Thank you for breaking yokes off of people's lives by the power of truth in Jesus' name. Father, those that have come in heavy laden, Father, we ask right now that you break off that heavy laden, whatever's causing that. Lord, a spirit of heaviness, Father, we come against that. We rebuke it. And we command it to go right now in Jesus' name, Father God. We thank you for, Father, for bringing freedom. Lord, we thank you for joy and peace. Amen. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom of God. So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We exalt you. Thank you, Father God. Tomorrow, Father, we thank you for a blessed week. Amen. Thank you for your hand upon us, Father God. Thank you for wisdom in our lives. Thank you for your strength in our lives. And so we receive of that today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, hallelujah. Be blessed today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.